Hey guys, and welcome to the Strong Tower Mental Health Podcast, where you will be inspired, encouraged, and transformed with powerful teachings and real stories of mental health. This podcast is not a substitute for counseling. If you are in a crisis, call or text your local crisis center or visit suicidepreventionlifeline.org. Jesus is in our mental health, and freedom is where we start. I am your host, Heidi Mortensen, licensed marriage and family therapist. Get ready. Today's show's going to bring you hope. Well, hello, and welcome to the Strong Tower Mental Health Podcast. I am your host, Heidi Mortensen, licensed marriage and family therapist. And I am so excited to have with me my first MD ever on the show, Dr. Carol Tanksley. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, it is great to be here, Heidi. This is a pleasure and an honor.
Yeah, and you have been an OBGYN for over 30 years and have written a book called Sexpectations, which is absolutely amazing. This is her book. So I'm really excited to have you on. And I mean, there's so much that we could dive into. So I'm really just praying God will guide this and be able to give whatever it is the listeners or those who are watching to really what it is that they need. So could you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you?
Okay. Well, thanks, Heidi. Some of my friends got to calling me Dr. Doctor. You mentioned I'm a OBGYN physician, and yes, for over 30 years. And one of the things that caring for women as an OBGYN gave me opportunity to do was be involved in women's lives in some of the most intimate aspects of their bodies, their lives, their relationships. And that was a privilege. It was a beautiful thing. I also came to know fairly early on in my practice, just by seeing how women responded and getting to know them, that as important as, you know, delivering babies or writing prescriptions or doing surgeries was, that didn't heal anyone. And God just, I still remember very clearly the time when God said, okay, that there's something more and different that I want you to move into. And so I moved into ministry. I got my master's of divinity and then my doctor of ministry. And that's when some of my friends started calling me doctor, the medicine and the ministry together. But I have come to see how dealing with some of these deeper aspects, matters of the heart, is really what Jesus was about when he was here. It's what the Bible was about. It's what brought, you know, healing into my own life. And so now I spend the majority of my time, you know, working with individuals and couples, or, you know, doing, you know, a weekend retreat / intensive, or writing books. You showed my latest one, or just doing writing and other kinds of projects in my podcast. So that has become my life now, very different than I would have thought some years ago, as God kind of started me on this journey. But I feel so grateful to touch on these things in just some really important areas of people's lives. You mentioned, just tell people a little bit about me. My own story also was a part of how God brought me into speaking about and talking about the things I do now. I think God always does that. He always uses our own stuff in ways that then become bread for others. What we think is our biggest mess, God often just miraculously changes into something whereby others receive ministry from. I grew up in a very, very dysfunctional home. I went to church from the time I was born. I read the Bible from the time I could read, but I didn't know Jesus personally. My home was also very messed up sexually. There was a lot of junk there. By the time I became a young woman in my 30s, my chronic unhappiness deteriorated more and more into what I call my 4 years of hell. I was seriously, life-threateningly distressed. And I had various mental health diagnoses at the time, and I was getting help. But thankfully, partway through that, I met Jesus. And that just opened doors. I had known about God, but now I knew him. I could come to hear his voice. I could learn about spiritual warfare. And I could learn to take control of my mind. And so many things in my life started to change. And a little bit later, after God had done some more cleaning up of me, I found myself alone in a hotel room with a married man. This was a man in a ministry leadership position. He had kids. I had determined, and prior to this had never done, what I was on the verge of doing. It was, he had said he wanted to come to pray. Well, yeah, he prayed. But then what? It was very clear why he was really there. But that experience rocked my world, and I had to contend with, why was I there? I knew all the stuff.
Yeah, right.
I had been to church all my life. I, even as an OBGYN, I knew the medical risks, and I knew this wasn't, you know, what had led me to get there. As God would have it, my clothes did not come off. That was a miraculous thing. Out of my mouth came the words, I must be about my Father's business. I can't do that. And miraculously, he left. But I had to contend with what was going on in me.
Yeah.
And that whole thing, I had to deal with my expectations, is the way I look back now and say it. So God used all of that to open some doors and understanding that lead me to what I'm doing now.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I just want to say, I absolutely love you, that you have all the letters and the doctorates and all these things behind your name, but you just brought Jesus right in here by just being so vulnerable and real. And I just want to remind people that it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter your accolades, that Jesus just wants us to be truly who we are. And that's what I love about your book, is where it brings out taking away the shame. And so can you talk about the name of your book and why you called it Sexpectations in the first place?
Yeah, that name came from a young millennial woman who does some work with me from time to time. And we were just talking about the ideas, and she came up with it and it fit. But the point is, we all learn things before we know we're learning them. Everyone listening or watching to us right now, Heidi, you learn things about sex, about relationships, about intimacy, about all related things, you know, communication, conflict, feelings, God. From the time you're born, you get it by osmosis. Some of those things may be good. Some of those things are probably not so good. Some of them may be even very bad. I am one who, like Dr. Dan Allender and others, believe that we have all in some way been sexually harmed. We develop wounds. There's assault to us in ways that we may not even fully realize. Some of the assaults that we experience are gross and obvious, and anybody would call them trauma. But others are not quite so obvious, and yet we all have been wounded. We have all come to believe lies, or half-truths, or truths with just enough truth to give them plausibility, but they're really lies. We have empty places in our souls. The lies, the wounds, and the empty places. And the enemy loves to exploit those.
Yeah.
He loves to take those and entice us in certain ways where we become our own worst enemy, and then heap shame on us. And perhaps nowhere is that more evident than in the realm of sexuality, intimacy, relationships. So contending, dealing with those things is where the title of the book came from. It's much more than just what's right or wrong, or what's on the sin list or not on the sin list. Behaviors have consequences. I've seen some of those consequences as an OBGYN when it comes to sexuality. There's other kinds of consequences too. Behaviors absolutely have consequences. But if all we do is tell people, do this, don't do that, it doesn't work very long. Trying harder isn't an adequate strategy. Jesus wants to get deeper and deal with the matters of the heart. And that's what this book is really about.
Yeah. And I think that this is important conversation, because the church will just do that, focus on what's sin or what's not. And even somebody like even us doing this interview, somebody can be like, well, what does she believe? Or what does she say in her book? And we can be quick to judge and quick to question. And let's come back to what's going on in our heart, like, and really slow down and hear what God has to say. So, like, what can we do to help to reframe our sexual stories, and kind of give us some how-tos? And like, because even when you were saying some subtle lies, like, what are some of those examples? I mean, like, obviously we think that, you know, if you made some unhealthy choices and now you have an STD, you have to deal with that. But like, what about some of the more subtle things, and how can we reframe our stories?
Yeah. I love that question because I believe that's what Jesus is all about. When we can look at our story the way Jesus does, things change. One of the things that's true about Jesus when he was here on earth is things changed when he showed up. You know, blind eyes came to see, lame legs started to walk, even people who were dead came to life again when Jesus showed up. Things change when Jesus shows up, and things will change in our story when Jesus shows up in our story also. And I have also come to understand some of the really fascinating neurobiological research that's come out in the last couple decades or so that helps us understand why that happens. But you asked how. What are some hows of doing that? First of all is to get honest. You know, what did you come to know, learn, believe about sex, sexuality, intimacy, yes, relationships, before you even knew you were learning it? What were your early experiences? And one, I think, really important part of this is, where do you see God and sex being related? Sometimes I tell people, Heidi, put God and sex in the same sentence. What would that sentence be? And what would be the feeling of that sentence? I've had, I remember one particular lady that I asked this, and she said, well, in my heart, I really think, you know, God and sex, they don't have anything to do with each other. I mean, intellectually, this woman is a Christian and she quotes knows better, but in her heart, you know, God and sex, they don't fit. Others have said things like, well, God is so disappointed in me because of what I've done sexually. Or God hates sex, but I feel like I need it. So what am I supposed to do about that? Or God must not want me to be happy because my marriage is so unfulfilled, including sexually. I hate it. Or God must not be very powerful because I've been sexually traumatized, whether that's, you know, molested, abused, raped, whatever. So, you know, God must really not have much to do with all. What's the emotional tone when you put God and sex in the same sentence or the same idea? Or maybe God's just looking for me to mess up. So when we look at it that way, part of how we get to some of that healing is contending with our picture of God. Yeah. Our picture of us is important. Looking at our own story is important. But when we start doing this, it also brings into full relief what we think about God. And by that, I don't primarily or only mean the intellectual facts we know about him. You know, Heidi, you work in the mental health field and have for a long time. The emotional part of us, or I talk about it with the right brain, left brain bit. You know, the left brain facts, linear, verbal, in some ways, maybe an oversimplification, but it really is true. Right brain, nonverbal, nonlinear, the emotional, the feeling part. Neurobiologists tell us that the right brain is the master switch of the body. So what does your right brain think about God? How do you feel God feels about you? And that is going to say a lot about how you deal with your sexual story with honesty and compassion, the way Jesus looks at our story.
Yeah, in your book, I'm just going to quote something that you wrote on page 84. You said, one of the primary ways the scripture talks about our relationship with God is to liken it to the relationship between a lover and a beloved. So it makes sense that your sexual story affects how you see God and how you feel about him. I think some people might hear that and they're like, what? Like, it is, I mean, he talks about the bride of Christ, and I think some people who maybe haven't dove into the Bible to kind of really dissect some of this, could you explain some of that and help us to maybe kind of bring that into our faith and see God a little bit differently?
Yeah. I want to start with some things that we as Christians know, understand about God. Certainly this is human language and God is bigger than us. But we know God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three eternally coexistent persons, but they are so united that we are told to think of him as one God, and he is one God. We could say that as much as we have limited understanding of it, we could say that God in himself demonstrates and experiences infinite intimacy. So close. They know each other, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. So this kind of intimacy, knowing and being known among themselves in the Godhead, is core to who God is. And when God created us as human beings, he could not create us in his image without creating within us too the need for intimacy, the desire, the capacity for intimacy. And that does not mean taking the clothes off your body. You cannot experience intimacy just by taking the clothes off your body. It means seeing and being seen, knowing and being known. That's what God desires with us. He desires that we see and know him, and he see and know us. What's the first thing that happened when sin entered the world? Adam and Eve hide. They find themselves hiding in the bushes, trying to cover themselves with fig leaves. Intimacy is broken. Intimacy gone wrong. And evil has done a great job of distorting that, of conflating sex and intimacy, confusing that. But there are so many examples then through the rest of Scripture where God's heart is yearning for intimacy with us. When humans reject him and walk away, he describes his own feelings as that of a rejected lover, of unrequited love, and the yearning he has for us. We could say that the first two chapters of the Bible, Genesis 1 and 2, is beautiful, perfect intimacy created. And then the rest of the Bible is intimacy gone wrong, and God doing everything to restore intimacy with us, in particular, the coming of Jesus. One of the most important names that was given to Jesus was by the angel speaking to Matthew, Jesus' father, Joseph. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus came to be with us, and that is intimacy. Then at the very end of the Bible, Revelation 21 and 22, we could say intimacy restored. God makes his home with us. There is perfect connection between humans and God again. So this whole story of the Bible, one really important way to look at it is the ultimate love story. And you are the ultimate beloved. And your hero is doing everything in his power to win your heart. There's also the villain, Satan, the enemy. In many of the classic love stories, what's the villain after? He's after the heart of the beloved. And you know, the beloved, of course, usually pictured as a woman, has to choose. You know, will she give her heart to the cunning villain, or will she recognize her true hero? I believe one of the reasons those stories resonate so much with us is because we are living in the middle of the ultimate love story that those archetypes kind of portray. So looking at the Bible that way and how God deals with us in that way is such a powerful picture to bring in so many of these elements.
This is so good. I mean, so what you're describing then is how intimacy and sex are related, but they're not the same.
Yes.
Can you kind of talk a little bit more about this? I know I feel like you did just describe it, but can then you specifically kind of talk about how sex is different than an intimacy?
A really important question and a great one. Many of us, even in the church, confuse those two things. It is often said, you know, intimacy with my spouse, or, you know, with my husband, with my wife, and you're meaning sex. Well, just like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden experienced intimacy with God, and that need is core within us, that's what God intended to be connected with sex in covenant marriage. The threefold cord, sex, the physical one fleshness, the intimacy, all aspects, physical, emotional, spiritual, and the covenant of covenant marriage, was what God designed as an object lesson of the intimacy that he experiences within himself and that he desires with us. We sometimes think of, for example, Paul's description of the church in Galatians. He's talking to husbands and wives and how husbands and wives should relate to each other. And Paul says, I speak of Christ and the church. Sometimes we can take that and think, oh, we're the pattern, marriage is the ideal. And God is saying, okay, well, that really, Christ and the church, it kind of looks like that. But God is always the original. The intimacy in marriage that includes sex, as God designed it, was to be a picture of that intimacy with God. But I think everyone who's listening or watching to us can know that there's lots of sex going on, whether within or without marriage, where there's no intimacy, where it's just bodies exchanging fluids. And for the many of you who have experienced that, is that life-giving? Some of you have experienced so much harm there that you never want to have sex again. There is also plenty of intimacy that doesn't need sex. Jesus, when he was here on earth as a man, a fully human, needed intimacy, but he never was married. He never had sex. And yet he was the most fully alive human that ever walked this earth. How did he do it? Moment to moment intimacy with his heavenly Father. And he also sought real, true connection with people, intimacy with others, messy, hard. You get hurt in doing that. And Jesus sought it anyway. That's just a couple things to illustrate that God intended intimacy and sex to be connected in marriage, but they are not the same. And one of the things evil has done is conflate or confuse those two things. So there's plenty of people now that go to sex, whether it's pornography, whether it's, one night stands, whether it's an affair, whatever it is, going to sex when it's really intimacy they need. Yes, we are embodied beings, and going to sex doesn't meet that need for intimacy if it's not done within marriage the way God designed. That is so important both for married and unmarried people, because there are some married people that think, oh, if my spouse and I just had more sex, we'd be fine. Well, maybe you need to have more sex, but what about the whole package of intimacy? It's also important for unmarried people to pattern after Jesus. Yes, you are an embodied person, and the majority of unmarried people have a sexual drive, but we are all sexual beings, regardless of relationship status. So how do you handle that as an unmarried person? My husband passed away, so I am now living again as an unmarried woman. So what do I do with that? We need intimacy. And just like Jesus, to seek it with a few other humans, as hard and messy as that is.
Wow. So what advice do you give in your book for couples struggling with intimacy? Like I a really common thing I see is that women are saying, I just want more emotional connection. Or men are saying, oh, we just need more sex. And if you give me more sex and I'll give you emotional connection, then there's this back and forth. What do you say about that when I hear you talk about intimacy?
Yeah. First, both husbands and wives need other people too. God never intended one human being to fill another up in every way. Even the best possible husband can never fill you up. So you need a few other people in your life, married people, perhaps even not married people. Each man and each woman needs a few others. And you need to go to God first to fill up the deepest places in your soul. When your soul is coming to the marriage to give rather than to extract something from your spouse, it's a whole different experience. For the husbands out there, I can 99.9% guarantee that if your wife experiences you as coming to give rather than to get, she is going to be much more open to physical connection with you. Same thing for wives. If you are wanting to extract some affirmation or emotional connection from your husband, he's going to feel put off. He's going to feel like he's never good enough and he can never meet your needs. But if you come offering to understand him, and when you can bring your body as a gift for sex, not an obligation, then the experience is so much better both ways. I encourage couples to talk about it. Talk about sex. Have the sex talk with your spouse often. What does it mean to you? What are the emotional underpinnings underneath sex? When, what did you learn about it? And what does the bid for sex from your spouse feel like to you? I also need to say that in at least 25% of married couples, it's the woman who has the higher libido and wants sex more often. That's normal. It's fine. So I want to make sure we acknowledge that. Work on the relationship, and the physical part of the relationship will become better. I tell husbands, touch your wife's heart before touching her body. I tell wives, take a mental step towards your husband, and your body is a whole lot more likely to follow.
That's good. I love that. What about those who have had kind of quite a bit of history of not making healthy choices? We know that God forgives us, but there's kind of more to this story than God forgives us. How can we kind of, why is this important, and why do we need to bring this to God? Like, why do we need to deal with that?
I would put that in the paradigm of pursuing sexual wholeness. We can talk about purity. We can talk about integrity. I think those may be helpful constructs, ideas, but they have kind of gotten a distorted, imperfect, sometimes even abrasive, hurtful perspective. And so sexual wholeness is what we're after, regardless of relationship status, gender, age, whatever. And that means some things, including your past loses its sting. Forgiveness is so important for acts, but our very DNA has been corrupted by sin. And by the way, I'm not afraid to talk about sin in this expectations book, but it's more than just acts. Our very being has been assaulted, corrupted, marred. And what Jesus is about is us becoming whole. That's what happens when he comes into our story. And part of that means your past loses its sting. Like Paul, he could talk about persecuting Christians without glorying in it or wallowing in it or trying to hide from it. It became part of who he was and the redemption story that he became in him, as a person, Paul and himself. Same thing with us. Whatever parts of us we may be ashamed at, that often becomes the very ingredients that God then builds into who he is creating us to be for the future. Part of sexual wholeness means that whatever addictions or strongholds, especially related to sexuality, may have been a part of our lives, lose their hold. This is not about, for example, pornography being one of the common ones for both men and women. It's not, I'm never going to watch porn again. I'm just going to grit my teeth and try harder. It has to include getting deeper and looking at what I came to believe about sex and how I have used sex to deal with feelings. I have to learn how to deal with boredom, with loneliness, with frustration and anger and all of that in a healthier way. It's a process of learning. I have to learn to pursue other people with intimacy, not to get something, but to connect. So being deeply connected with a few others. And this process of pursuing wholeness as Jesus comes into our story then makes true intimacy possible. This is a journey. This isn't something that we just all of a sudden know how to do. Right from the Garden of Eden, we have been hiding for good reason. We've all been hurt as a human race, and we've been hurt individually. So to learn that I have agency over my walls, I can choose where and with who to let my walls down. That doesn't just mean taking the clothes off my body if I'm married. It means taking the coverings off my mind and heart in appropriate places with wisdom, because that feeds the need for intimacy that God built within me, and to take down my walls with God. When we put up walls, we hide from him too. And we have to deal with that in becoming whole.
Yeah, there's Oh my gosh, there's so many things that you're saying right now. We're getting close to the end here. You know, something you said like really hit me. You said marred, you said the word marred and something else. Do you remember what other words you used?
Marred, distorted.
Yeah. Okay. So I literally got a picture of what sin does to us. And I saw like the enemy marring and distorting us. Just like how Jesus was on the cross, like that is what happens to us. So I think I'm saying I feel like there's God's compassion is in this because he wants us to let go of the shame that's connected to the choices that we've made, but that it was the enemy doing this to us, marring and distorting us. So I just had this like powerful image of us on the cross, like Jesus, and that's what the sin does to us. So for us to be able to like look at the sin and be mad at the sin instead of beating ourselves up, and then
Yes.
allowing God to do what he can do through what you were just talking about, deal with the boredom, deal with the emotions, deal with the healing that needs to be done. Don't avoid that stuff. Talk through that with God so you can become closer to him. And yeah, I mean, this intimacy thing, what you said about like, not getting what we want from someone else, like that has so been a thing of sex. Like, I'm gonna
Yes.
get this, or I'm gonna get her,
Yes.
get him. And it's like, no, this isn't a get anything, you know, like the where it's that totally makes it just like a transaction. Like you said, we're just like exchanging fluids instead of walking this place of intimacy. So I feel like a lot of what you write about, I don't even think we even know what real intimacy is. So you're taking this concept of sex and I'm like, what? Oh, we're talking about sex? Like that's what I feel like as I'm talking to you. Like I've forgotten that this book is about sex because you're just drawing me into this intimacy with God with your answers. And that's really what it's about. That's what it's about. So then you want to have sex in the way that God designed. I mean, I'm just so blown away by you, and that you're an MD, you're an OBGYN. Like, we didn't even talk about hormones or anything. Like, this is so good. Yeah, go ahead if you had something that you wanted
Well,
to
again,
say.
we are embodied beings. Our bodies matter. And I talk some about that in the book, about becoming a friend to your body, because this isn't about just super spiritualizing and getting away from what is going on with our body. You and the mental health, I'm sure, Heidi, one of the things you talk about is helping people be aware of what in their body, what their bodies are saying. It's not that your body becomes a god, but it can give important information. But in that light, I believe that talking about sex in our culture today, because it is such a hot topic in culture and in the church also, is really a window that God can use, is using, to deal with these places in people's hearts about what he really wants to deal with them about. It's not that he doesn't want to deal about sex. It's that the enemy has taken sex and confused it with the core of who God made us to be. And so when we deal with the sex stuff, it is very, very close to, it is not who we are. We are not our sexuality, but it is very close to, and it can open the door to places in our soul that really is the root of what God does want to deal with us in all ways. Also, you talked about sin, and I just want to make a comment one more time about that. We have all been sinned against, and we have all sinned in response. So for those who are listening or watching who may say, well, you know, I have shame for these things that I've done, you know, I sinned. Yeah, God wants to forgive and heal and redeem and restore, absolutely. But nobody wakes up one day and says, I'm going to get hooked on porn and mess up my life and my future and my marriage. Nobody wakes
Absolutely.
up one
Yeah.
day and says, I'm going to go out and get an STD or spoiler alert here, no woman wakes up one day and says, I'm going to get pregnant and then kill my baby. There's all kinds of intimacy gone wrong here. And so we need to look one step back and how were you sinned against? This all comes from somewhere. So Jesus is not about parsing out blame. He's about looking at the totality of your story with honesty and compassion and walking with you in a process of transformation.
So good. It's like inner healing. I mean, that's like what
Absolutely.
this is.
Yes.
Oh, this is so good. Thank you so much for just your wisdom and dedication and getting into ministry too. So Alessa, if there's anything else I would love for you to share, otherwise I would love for you to pray for us.
Okay. All right. Well, I would be honored to. I would just close with saying wherever you are, it doesn't matter what place along this journey, that there is more wholeness and goodness for you. This is not about adding to shame. When we bring these things into the light, it disinfects the shame and makes healing and growth and goodness and true intimacy possible. And that's what Jesus wants for you. It's what he made you for. And I would be honored to pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, precious Jesus, Holy Spirit, we are honored that you have shared so much of yourself with us. Most importantly, in the person of Jesus, coming to be God with us. And as I think about the people who are listening or watching right now, Jesus, you see everything that came in their past to bring them to where they are now. The good and also the bad and sometimes the very, very ugly. You see where they are now. Whatever level of trying harder or shame or brokenness or pressure or loneliness, whatever it is, you see where they are now. And you also see the beautiful, glorious human being that you had in mind when you thought of them in eternity past and who you are recreating them to be. Lord Jesus, I just pray your miraculous supernatural power right now minister to each one, first of all, in the sense that you are with them. It is your presence that changes things wherever they need it most. And it is also your presence that makes the next step of transformation possible. Let each person right now sense that you are with them. And may their response be, yes, I want to walk this transformation journey with you. And we thank you and honor you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Oh, well, this, so how can people get a hold of you? How can they purchase Sexpectations?
Sexpectations is available anywhere books are sold. Sexpectations, reframing your good and not so good stories about God, love, and relationships. I would say that at our site, yoursexpectations.com, we have some extra available resources along with that, some freebies, a 30-day devotional, a quiz, some other things. We've got, you know, videos and podcasts. We've got stuff to go along with it. So I would love to connect with you that way. You can also, you know, just find the book there at our site or anywhere books are sold. And I would be honored if you use the contact page on our site. The message comes directly to me. It's confidential. And I would love to hear from any of you.
Yeah. And then I'm just going to spell out your last name. So if people want to find you, it's Dr. Carol, Carol, and her last name is spelled Tanksley. And then her website is drcarolministries.com. She's also on Instagram, on X, Facebook, YouTube, and she also has a podcast called Relationship Prescriptions with Dr. Carol. So check her out, dive in. She talks about being single as well. So this isn't just a conversation about married people. She really dives into all sorts of conversations. I just really think this is really such an important conversation and one that's really needed in the body of Christ. So thank you so much, Dr. Carol, for being on.
It has been a pleasure and an honor. Thank you, Heidi.
Thanks for listening to the Strong Tower Mental Health Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts and subscribe wherever you listen. Your review helps the show reach more people and spread mental health awareness with Jesus at the center. You can also check me out on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, or my website at HeidiMortensonLMFT.com. See you at our next episode.